Good evening, Grover Beach. I call to order the Planning Commission meeting for Tuesday, March 4th, 2025. It is 6 p.m. This meeting may also be viewed on Channel 20 and is available on live streaming on the city's website and on www.slow-span.org. Members of the public may provide public comment during the meeting by calling 805-321-6639. Phone line is now open. And do be aware, if you're watching at home, that what is happening in the room is about 45 seconds ahead of what you're seeing. So you'll want to call in early. And you can just hang out there and it'll be live. I will invite Commissioner Halverson to lead us in the flag salute. Please rise.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Ms. Ratana, would you please call the roll?
Commissioner Hoffman?
Here.
Commissioner Holden?
Here.
Commissioner Halverson?
Here.
Vice Chair Swift?
Here.
And Chair Mann?
Here. At this moment, I will take a point of privilege to allow Director Martin to introduce someone new to us. Please continue.
Thank you so much. I wanted to welcome to the Planning Commission meeting this evening our Assistant City Attorney, Jennifer Thompson. Rob Lamelli, our City Attorney, is out this evening, so she'll be joining us and providing any advice that your commission may have. So thank you for joining us, and happy to see you in person.
Thank you very much. Our first point of business is the appointment of the Planning Commission Chair and Vice Chair. So we will need a motion on the appointment. Do we have any nominations?
I would like to nominate Chair Mann to continue her service as Chair.
I'll second that.
I will accept that. I suppose we were supposed to do the Vice Chair first. Pardon me. Can we go? Is it okay if we switch it? Okay, we'll start with that first one. So can I call it if I'm the person being nominated? Is that how that goes? All right. So we have a motion to appoint Rachel Mann to continue as Planning Commission Chair. And this is by voice vote. All in favor state aye.
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 And all opposed? The motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much. We need a motion to approve the appointment of a Planning Commission Vice Chair. Do we have anyone who would like to nominate?
I would like to nominate David Swift as our Vice Chair for next year.
I will second that. And this is also a voice vote. The motion is to approve David Swift to continue as the Planning Commission Vice Chair. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And all opposed? The motion passes unanimously. And we don't have to play musical chairs. Thank you very much, everyone. Do we need to call the roll again if the positions have not switched? Okay, let us continue with the next item, which is the agenda review. At this time, the Planning Commission will review the order of business to be conducted and receive requests for or make announcements regarding any changes in the order of the day. The Commission should, by motion, adopt the agenda as presented or as revised. Are there any changes to the agenda that would like to be put forward? Do I need to call people's names? I can't remember. Hearing no changes, do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
I'll move. We approve the agenda as published.
Do I second?
We have a first and a second. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? The motion passes unanimously. We will now open the general public communications. At this point, which is any items within the jurisdiction of the Planning Commission that are not on the agenda. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes. The Planning Commission will listen to all comments. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the Commission cannot act on items not on the agenda. Public communication is now open. If you'd like to call in, please call in at 805-321-6639 to provide public comment. Is there anyone in the room who would like to speak at this time? Please come forward, state your name, and you have 3 minutes.
Hi there. My name is Pamela Storton. I live in South Grover Beach. I'm a real estate broker. And some of my background, I worked in redevelopment areas in the city of San Francisco. What used to be called the Western Addition is now called the Fillmore area. And so I just wanted to give that as a note. That was back in the late 80s and early 90s when there was a lot of redevelopment going on there. So I'd like to speak to something that the community development director brought up at the last meeting that I believe is coming back to council. And that, I think that we should be challenging the designation of the Grover Beach train station as a major transit hub. As I read the laws, that would be train buses running every 20 minutes or less. At the station, you get approximately 4 to 6 trains a day and 4 to 6 buses maximum, and that's not every 20 minutes. So I don't consider that a major hub. Likewise, with the bus station on Ramona, if you're going to take, that's not a major hub either. So we want to watch that we're cautious on the ADUs and what happens, and that we're working for the people and keeping the character of the cottages in Grover Beach and not just allowing higher density when I don't believe the law allows it. I'm hoping that we will be just more in tune to what the community wants, and maybe to be a little bit more cautious as long as our allowable use codes meet the RENA requirements. I think we could push back a bit on that. I'd like to know how many units can really be built in Grover Beach using the most cautious allowable codes, and that will meet our RENA requirements with the ADU, the two-story ADUs. I think that's it. I have 45 seconds. I'd also like to urge the City Council to encourage the City Council to rescind Resolution 2301, which allowed for a consolidated coastal permit for Central Coast Blue. I know we're not in it right now, but it is coming back. Pismo Beach has it as a main requirement or a main goal. And that means it doesn't come in front of the Planning Commission, that the consolidated permit goes straight to the Coastal Commission, and that's going to limit public participation for the streets and the wells and the things that come back into Grover Beach. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Storton. Is there anyone else who would like to speak as part of the general public communication? Please come forward, state your name. You have 3 minutes.
Thank you. Brenda Auer Real Estate. Good evening, everyone. I want to echo most of the things that Pam just suggested. I want to ask if you'd do me a favor. I'm concerned for our city. I'd like us to say a quick prayer for it. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this wonderful, blessed place, our little piece of heaven on earth here in Grover Beach. Please, Lord, guide our councils, guide our planning commission, and everyone involved so that they will have their hearts open and be filled with your love. Give them the wisdom and the guidance to make the proper decisions for Grover Beach. In Jesus' name we ask this and thank you. Amen. Thank you for obliging me. I've prayed a lot about Central Coast Blue, and I hope it doesn't come back to haunt us or take more than $3 million or $6 million from us. I'm concerned. I was at a meeting yesterday, and I have a lot of opinions about it. It was well-run, well-organized. I think we got our money's worth. I think it could have been done in 45 minutes, in my personal opinion. But one of the questions to the City Council and some of the administration was, what is the norm? And they decided to put that on when they called a bike rack, because none of them could decide what the norm is, because we're all different. Different religious beliefs, different backgrounds, different families. I want you to consider what the norm should be for Grover Beach. It should be do unto your neighbors as you'd have them do unto you. If that group couldn't agree on that, or somebody came up with it yesterday, then that's part of my prayer too. I thank you for your time. I thank you that you're looking into these important subjects. I have a lot of concern in my neighborhood with people that are concerned about the ADUs and their privacy. So thank you for considering our neighbors.
Thank you very much, Ms. Auer. Is there anyone else in the room who would like to speak to general public communication? Seeing no other, seeing no one else come forward, is there anyone on the line?
No, there's not.
Thank you very much. I will close this portion of public communication. Let's move on to the consent agenda. To the commission, is there anything on the consent agenda that should be pulled off? Seeing no one, I will open public comment on the consent agenda. Another note, the commission cannot discuss or ask questions of any item on the consent agenda. If you would like to discuss an item, it must be pulled. So is there any member of the public who wishes to address the commission on the item listed under the consent agenda, which is the minutes from the last meeting? If so, please come forward or call in at 805-321-6639. I will open public comment. Is there anyone in the room who'd like to speak to this? I see no hands. Is there anyone on the line?
No, there's not.
I will close public comment. I need a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I will move to approve the consent agenda as submitted.
I will second.
This is a voice vote. All in favor of approving the consent agenda, say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed? The motion passes unanimously. We move on to our public hearing item. And again, as a reminder, if you would like to call in for public comment on this item, please call in at 805-321-6639. The item before us is development application 23-00050. The applicant is Coastal Community Builders, and Senior Planner Kyle Bell will give us a presentation.
Thank you, and good evening. Tonight we'll be reviewing an application to review changes to an approved development project located at 197 West Grand Avenue. The approved project consists of a four-story mixed-use project that includes 16 townhomes and 7 condominiums and 2,500 square feet of commercial retail and outdoor space. The proposed changes to the project are limited to the 16 townhomes, specifically involving modifications to the exterior materials and articulation of the building facades. The application also includes an amendment to condition number 3 to allow more flexibility for guardrail systems facing west towards the beach. The project site is located east of Highway 1 along the intersection of West Grand Avenue and Union Pacific Railroad, with direct access from West Grand Avenue, North 2nd Street, and Ramona Avenue. The project site is located in the coastal visitor serving zone and identified in the West Grand Avenue master plan. The project site is surrounded by industrial and residential uses to the east, commercial uses to the south, and vacant land to the north. The approved project consists of the construction of 3 new buildings, a 4-story mixed-use building located along the south portion of the property facing West Grand Avenue, and 2 3-story residential buildings located along the western portion of the property. The project also provides access from North 2nd Street and Ramona Avenue with a combination of surface parking and garage parking for the residences. The proposed design changes are limited to the townhouse buildings and are intended to increase our articulation and to distinguish the project as a townhome development rather than as a multi-unit structure. Due to the scale of design changes, the director elevated the review of the changes to the Planning Commission for determination of consistency with the intent of the original approval. in accordance with the procedures established under the development code. If you watch the screen closely, you'll see how the proposed changes compare to the original design, and we can refer back to these during the discussion if necessary. I'll jump back and forth for a second. As you can see, the design changes incorporate several key updates, including the addition of an awning above the third floor windows, the introduction of alternating materials and colors for each townhome, and an enhanced articulation around the fenestration of the rear elevation. Since the project does not consist of any site design changes or intensification of use of the property, the project remains consistent with all relevant policies under the Local Coastal Program, General Plan, and the West Grand Avenue Master Plan. The design changes do not conflict with any existing development standards, and the project remains consistent with all relevant standards under the development code. In addition to the design changes, the applicant is also requesting to modify condition number 3. Oops, one second. To allow for the transparent guardrails for the upper story open spaces that are oriented towards the ocean. The proposed change is limited to the upper story areas facing west, which does not create any privacy concerns and does not conflict with any objective design standards. If the Planning Commission supports this change, the condition can be amended as shown on the screen, subject to a motion of approval. The proposed changes are consistent with the previously adopted mitigated negative declaration. The changes do not result in any new significant environmental impacts beyond those analyzed in the original environmental determination, and the approved mitigation and monitoring plan remains in full effect and shall continue to be implemented as specified. And tonight's recommendation is to find the project consistent with the general plan and development code and approve the design changes as proposed, subject to the findings and conditions outlined in the resolution. I'm available for any questions. And the applicant is here to speak and does have a short presentation available as well.
So we should do that before our questions to you?
Before public comment, either one.
Okay. I'm going to go through and ask if there's any questions of you, and then we'll go to public comment, and then it will end up coming back around. Do any of my commissioners, our commissioners, I've been sitting in this chair too long, have questions for staff on the presentation? I will go through each of you. So, Commissioner Halverson?
Okay. I have one question. The top deck where we're changing, proposing to change the guardrail design so that it is transparent, is that top deck, is that limited to each townhome owner, or is that the general area for the development itself?
Each roof deck would be limited to that specific townhome.
Okay, so conceivably people will be storing things on that top deck, and with this new design they will be more visible to the public driving by on the highway there across from the railroad tracks.
Potentially, yes.
And so the justification for considering that would be what? What's the staff's justification for allowing that when we really just passed changes to the development code to prevent that?
Correct. So at this time, there's no codified code requirements to establish a opaque design for guardrails. The pending development code update is subject to review by the Planning Commission, City Council, and again, the Coastal Commission. So until that time, we don't have any code requirement to require these balconies to be of an opaque design. Pending that approval, the applicant that has prepared a presentation to outline their justification statements for this change, and staff is looking to the Planning Commission to consider this design modification.
Okay.
And I might just add, Director Martin, we selected this condition of approval with the original approval of the project specifically to address visual blight that can oftentimes occur on upper story decks, rooftop decks, and this was to kind of moderate that potential visual blight. But as Mr. Bell has already mentioned, it is not a code requirement, so it is open to interpretation for your commission to consider.
Okay, but that requirement is in the works. I
yes,
thought it was
is.
Already approved, but I guess I'm wrong. Okay, that answers my question.
It has locally been approved. Your commission will be coming back to your commission here shortly, and I can give an update on that later this evening.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Hoffman, did you have any questions for staff?
No.
Commissioner Holden?
No.
Vice Chair Swift?
Just a clarification then, that the development code chapter 310.080 that references the 50% or greater opacity is in an unapproved code at this point?
It has been locally adopted, but because the Coastal Commission has not taken action on it, it has not been affected. So we're in a waiting game right now.
I got you. Okay, so the Planning Commission and the City Council has approved it, but it has not been formalized through
Correct.
Coastal Commission.
Okay. And we conditioned the resolutions for the local coastal program amendment. We conditioned that when it went through council that the development code amendments would not be affected until the commission took action on it, the Coastal Commission. But we believed that the condition of approval met the intent of what your commission and the council had already approved, which is why it had been applied and the original approval from your commission.
Thank you.
And I don't think I have any questions for staff, but I think I will of the applicant. So moving on to open the public hearing for this item, and I will invite the applicant to come forward and talk to us.
Commissioners, good evening. Scott Martin, architect with RRM Design Group. Thank you so much for hearing me tonight. Sorry to bring a project back to you. That's always like, but hopefully I can explain that. I think Kyle's staff did such a great job talking about what we're asking for. I'd like to talk about why we're asking for it, and then we can have any dialogue. I have an owner's rep with me as well, so we can have any dialogue and possible solutions that might get everybody feeling good, and that's ultimately what we want today. These are pretty good graphics just right here. I don't have a super formal presentation. I will tell you that, of the projects you have seen so far, this is the first townhome design that we are proposing in the city. And we learned a lot, some from your own commission while we were going through the process, and even more as looking to market these products. And one thing, home ownership is changing forms quite a bit. We are hearing that people still love definable space. I still want my unit. That is one thing, especially when you start getting into, these are larger units. These are the largest of anything we've seen on Grand Avenue so far. These larger units, people want a little more identification in between what's mine and what's my neighbor's, a little more delineation, if you will. And that's really the goal between what you see of the approved design and the revision of the design. There is more. There is more articulation. There are more materials. There is more delineation, more fenestration, more of everything. We actually think it's really nice. All of a sudden, you can say, I'm the third one in, and you can clearly identify which one is the third one in. We did not make or propose these same changes to the larger mixed-use building that is fronting Grand Avenue. I think you will look at that and still see a building, but for the townhomes, we were hoping to change from what was a very, very horizontally designed building and looked like one large mass as opposed to a series of eight homes. And what we heard from buyers, what we heard from interested parties was we want to define those spaces a little bit more. You own all the way up to the sky, so to delineate each one of those individual entries, different door colors you'll notice, different actual wall materials, same materials, different colors, some of that articulation coming into play. In hindsight, I actually like it better. It took a while. I was like, we're not really going to go back and change, but we already had approved. But I think it's a better move for the residents who ultimately end up buying it. We talked a lot about that sort of transitional from what is a condo to more of a townhome, and I think this helps delineate that. So I wish I could have thought of it 2 years ago when we were here, but I'm glad that we're getting it now. This project is excitingly moving forward, ready to go. There's been some soil cleanup and stuff that everybody's heard about, but I think this is another step to make this project better, and that's why we're back here to ask for that tonight. Happy to answer any questions about how we delineated each unit, but what I have heard conversation about, and I just want to jump right on, is the balcony conversation and the amount of opacity. That's a great standard. Really happy that the city's looking to adopt that throughout. It's something I 99% of the time would highly encourage. I think I've written similar standards for other cities and encourage that constantly. At the core and purpose behind that standard it's twofold. Number one is privacy. The closer you can get to the edge of a balcony, the more likely you are to be able to look down and into your neighbor's property or somebody's rear yard or somebody else's private balcony. Those are all real concerns, except on this location, because that's the train tracks, and then an undeveloped piece of land, and then Highway 1, and you're hundreds of feet before you can actually have any potential concern of privacy. We felt like the advantage of the ocean view, and that's really what this is about there. I don't want to hide that at all. We are looking to be able to sit in the living room or sit on the roof deck and see out to the ocean. The railing as is, if you sat down, all of a sudden my line of sight, did you guys see the sunset on the way in? Mm-hmm. I saw Commissioner Swift outside. It was just gorgeous. And so we're trying to regain that horizon line is the purpose. I believe in an apartment project, in a stacked flat condo project, it's a great standard to have. This is a townhome project. So where's my barbecue going to go? Where's my surfboard going to end up? Because beyond privacy, the other reason you often have that standard is I don't want to see the junk out on your deck or balcony or whatever you have. On the second floor, this is all living space. So, and it's not a huge balcony. It's really intended to have a chair or a patio table or something like that to see outside. On the roof deck, there is space for a real little outdoor patio, kitchenette, even little, you know, you'd bring your stuff up there, chairs, but it's pulled back away from the edge. So even in this view, you can't see it, but that's the stairs going all the way up. That's a full height element. If I had a table and chairs, and Kyle, could you go to the floor plan real quick? Sorry, Nicole, thank you. The next page, is there any way to just kind of scroll in? You can see, I don't have a pointer or anything, but that far plan is the roof deck. The walking surface, it's actually pulled back from the edge. One of the things we've found, you can see the sort of seating arrangement around what's labeled as roof deck there, and then there's another couple of feet into the edge. People don't like being three stories up and being right on the edge of a building. So for safety reasons, more than anything, we've actually pulled the walking surface of the roof deck back about 5 feet. That's going to, again, it's just going to put you further away from views from eye level, being able to see up into there, and it's going to allow you to still sit on your roof deck and look out to the ocean. These are townhomes, as I mentioned. They not only have a two-car garage, but they have an extra-wide two-car garage. So your bicycle, your barbecue, your surfboard, your extra whatever has dedicated convenient storage places other than your deck. So we think we've sort of arranged this unit in a way where if you blocked your ocean view with your big old longboard, it would be absolutely absurd. It wouldn't make any sense. And we're happy to put a condition that says something to the HOA or something like that that says, hey, you can't leave those sorts of things out on your deck. But the idea of being able to sit out here and enjoy the beautiful view is really what this is about. We don't believe there's privacy concerns, and we think between the floor plan design, the ample storage, and the pulled back deck space, we can mitigate any potential concerns of Highway 1, I guess, is what we're worried about, looking back up and actually seeing stuff. They may see tables and chairs, but I think that actually shows life and excitement. It's not my wetsuit or my surfboard or bike. Those things all have a place to be stored. So with that, happy to answer any questions or comments or see if there's anything I left out.
I believe we continue with public comment before we get to our comments. So is there anyone in the room who wanted to speak on this item? Please come forward, give us your name, and you've got 3 minutes.
Thank you again, Pamela Storton. Well, isn't it interesting that we're worried about privacy on $1.5 million townhomes, but we're going to put ADUs, two-story, 4 feet off the fence lines for other people? So I think what is fair is fair. It's a bit of a double standard. Not that I disagree, but this is likely about dollars and sellability of those units. I'm not sure that having the opaqueness or opacity is, you know, you guys set this standard. I was here when you set this standard, and there was a great discussion about it and why you did that. I would tend to stick with that or at least maybe go halfway up. I've seen that done, where you go to the chair height so you can still have some of that hidden and then clear up from there. So I just really want to push that if you're going to if ADUs by the state are going to be allowed two stories, then, gosh, those people get to look right down in your yard, not just over your deck. So just make sure that the distribution of the laws and the intent are fair to all people, regardless of whether they can spend $1.5 million and have a view. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Storton. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak on this item?
Do you mind pulling the screen back up? About it. Until she does that, we'll talk about double standards. Something's been approved, but it's not approved by this person yet, so we're sneaking something in the middle. An HOA can only do so many things, CCRs. Any time you have a deck, I'm a property manager, people put stuff on it. You really can't write the rules as clearly as you might want. But I'm going to tell you what you're going to see all over those decks. Beach towels, wetsuits. It's going to be lovely. So on that note, I'm going to point to what I'm talking about. Right up here, that very top in the original drawing, in the original design and the second design. I assume that those are overlays so that people can get out of the sun. But those are actually obstructing more ocean views up the street. I've sold over 500 homes here. I've sold over 100 in Grover Beach. Some of those have ocean views from single stories. We're taking those from those people. We're not asking them. They paid high premium for it. You know, anything we can do to minimize taking away their ocean views. I'm safe. You guys are missing me. I've been watching. But a lot of people are not happy. And it's not fair. Mostly my seniors that bought single-story homes and paid premium to not have their views blocked. I know it's a little late for this, but if you're going to redesign it so it doesn't go up so high. Just a thought.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who wanted to speak on this side, on item two, here in the room? Please come forward, state your name. You have 3 minutes.
Thank you. Ben Fine. I am Vice President of Construction for Coastal Community Builders. First, I'd like to thank your staff. They've been amazing to work with. Very responsive, while still looking out for the best interests of the city. So thank you to your staff. Talking about stuff stored on the rooftop deck, as Scott pointed out, these units do have garages. For somebody to lug their wetsuit up their stairs and through their house to hang them on their rooftop deck, I just don't see that happening. And the HOA does have the ability to enforce the rules and levy fines against the residents if they're not following the rules. So there is a mechanism to control what is allowed and what's not allowed through the HOA. And I just thank the commission for your consideration this evening, and thank you for the time.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak to this issue? And we're not so busy tonight, but please continue. As we come here, I forgot to ask for those blue slips to be submitted to you, so I apologize for that, Clerk Rotana. But please state your name, and you've got 3 minutes.
Hi, I'm Lauren Westfall. I live in Grover Beach. As far as your color scheme, it is the same color scheme as it is in Oxnard, as it is in Bakersfield, as it is in Riverside. Can we give it like a beachy color instead of peach and white and making it so plain? Give it some style. If you're going to change the architect, make it look coastal, not like every other city. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think we've got everyone who was in the room. Is there anyone on the line who'd like to speak to item two?
No, there's not.
I think somebody is trying to call me. Mm-mm. There was someone on the phone.
There is not.
They were on the phone earlier.
I have tried to be good about asking each time, so if they hung up, I can't control that.
It's the phone system. It happens to me all the time.
I will be closing public comment.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Moving on. Commissioners, do you have questions for the applicant? I will begin again with Commissioner Halverson.
As usual. So I looked at the old and the new design, and I really like what you've done with the place. It looks much more, attractive, distinctive, what have you. The top deck opacity still worries me a little bit. One of the commenters suggested the halfway up sort of approach, which wouldn't necessarily obscure the view for those folks on the deck, and would contribute to, if somebody lugs their wetsuit up there or whatever, it would contribute to the public not having to see that kind of stuff. So I guess that's where I said I like the new design, but the total clear glass approach is a little worrisome to me based on what we have already approved for the future as soon as the Coastal Commission gets their job done. That's all I got.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Hoffman.
I don't have any questions, but I just wanted to second the comments about liking the new design. I do like it better, and I think the articulation that you've put in to define each unit is going to be, it's just more aesthetically pleasing than prior. So thank you for making those changes.
Commissioner Holden.
I don't have any comments about it other than I also like the new design. Thank you.
Vice Chair Swift.
So I think the articulation really does serve the purpose, right? It looks a lot nicer having the defined features. I think Ms. Westfall mentioned colors, and I actually heard from several other people regarding colors as well, is that we seem to be getting into monocolored development on Grand Avenue, and that as a beach town, we ought to have some beachy-looking colors. I mean, I don't know if it's as crazy as Mardi Gras colors, but certainly something more than grays and woods that, you know, that would add some beach feel to it. So as you come up with a color palette, I don't know if you have to bring that back to the Planning Commission to approve your choices of colors, but actually, you know, seeing some variation in the color scheme as that area develops will be nice. So on the opaque railings, I think, you know, you sort of admitted to the primary point, and this is all about views, Right? These are bonuses to some million-dollar views facing west. And I think, certainly in my mind, we have reiterated to the community many times that we are not in the business of preserving views. And so we have development going on that unfortunately shuns the neighbors to the east and tells them that, no, we're not in the business of preserving views. I would extend that feeling to we are not in the business of enhancing views. And so while I certainly understand your points, I don't feel like I can agree with a choice that really is just enhancing the view on a already million-dollar view, and it lets you have that enhanced view while you're sitting down rather than sitting at a bistro table looking over the railing. So I do not agree with the pass on the 50% opacity or more. I think the other changes look great, but I think the enhanced views sort of aren't a good reason to violate the intent of the code that we approved. That's my opinion.
Thank you very much, Vice Chair Swift. As you might not be surprised, I have a lot of questions and opinions on this. So coming from the perspective of someone who lives in a row home, we are in the process of a complete re-siting project that's costing each owner $40,000. We just got the notice. I mean, we went through a whole process of approving it, but it's going to be due on the 1st of April. And so I'm thinking about these changes to the exterior and trying to understand, because of this project, I'm curious about the homeowners association. Is it going to be like who's going to be cursing me in 50 years for not asking about these things? Because with all this articulation and differences in materials comes additional flashing and joins and all kinds of things that may require, may in fact even be more expensive to build, but may certainly be more expensive to maintain. And so that's where I kind of want to understand what, you know, can we look out a little further and think about, you know, what that's going to mean in 40 or 50 years. So my home is 43 years old and we're in this moment. But it was clad in pine, which I would not recommend at this point. So that's two questions. One, is it more expensive to build? Are we actively making them more expensive? And are they going to be more expensive to maintain? On the color thing, I'd love to see more color, too. I agree with some of the folks in this room. My home's getting a little more color. We're going with blue. And I hope you'll all swing by. It's over at Ramona and 16th. But that's an aesthetic choice. And I guess I'm curious, is each homeowner going to be able to pick from a palette what color they want their unit to be? Are they each going to be responsible for their section of the exterior? Like, how's that going to work? As far as the guardrail system, I am sympathetic I feel like we need to be consistent. And if the proposed limit for the small, affordable, what we hope will be more affordable ADU is 50% opacity, I think it would be advisable to keep that for something that is a little more upscale. I don't know for a fact. Is the rule here 36 inches, or is it different in California for the height of the railing?
42.
Yeah. 42. So it is a little taller. So one could have a countertop height pub table from which one could see over it. Any other questions here? I think those are my concerns. So if you could address maybe who's going to be responsible for repairs, that kind of thing, that would be helpful.
Thank you. All great questions, Chairman. And a little tough to answer before complete CC&Rs and all are developed. So I'll do my best, and I'll also be a little bit vague. I apologize for that. But is it more costly to build? Yes. Same materials, different color, new colors, new paint. So you're asking more of your trades, but fractional in the overall scheme of the scale of this project. So while there are, may be some more reveal joints and some more material transitions, the labor cost of painting a couple more colors, it is not a huge delta, if you will. For example, I'm not familiar with your place, but pine siding is very hard. We're going with very sustainable, durable materials here. Some will be painted different colors. So when you come out to get a painting bid, because they can't spray it all white or spray it all magenta or whatever color you may like, they are doing a little more masking. The labor cost goes up. The material cost does not. It, again, for the scale of this project, it's relatively fractional. So from a long-term durability standpoint, the materials and the energy code requirements of what's now built nowadays far exceeds anything that may be something like 40 years old. So durability hit has just come such a long way. Most of what we build out is some form of concrete, whether it's, you know, powderized and reshaped into look like wood or something like that. So fractional at best to any cost delta of the changes. And I think the pride of ownership may elevate above that. The ultimate question was about color. We continue to look at color ideas. I think I said it once. We were kind of inspired by this room here and other, there's a coastal visitor center. There's quite a few examples. The beechwood look, the calm neutrals. I love the blue that's there behind you, some of those things. We were not approved. We are still sticking with the approved color palette at this point, not asking to open Pandora's box and completely go through. I mean, we could still go with the original project. So we like that. We introduced more rhythm and more variety in color. We haven't gone to bold, bright colors. We could have a long debate just about what is the appropriate color, but heard loud and clearly, and definitely something, probably not on this project based on its progression and where it is, but in future projects, would love to see a little more vibrancy is what I'm hearing from council. I do think there is individual color schemes. Will you be able to pick? No. There's only 16 of these units. This is not tract housing. This is not choose your color scheme. These are predetermined, already laid out on a set of drawings. So you will pick which unit, but if you want the gray one or the white one or the tan one, you better pick the unit that corresponds with that. So no, you don't get, I want that unit on this end with this color scheme. That is not quite what happens here. And yeah, appreciate the dialogue about the opacity, like your staff put it in there previously, because they did have concerns. It is not an adopted code. It is not something that is held to a different standard than any other project right now. I want to be very clear that it is your staff's foresight, and so continue kudos to them. Just would love the full flexibility of the 50% and how to work with staff to make sure that we can capture as much view as possible, just like an ADU should capture as much view as possible, or any affordable unit. We all want to take advantage of what is available to us, no different than any other project. So I think we can work within those boundaries and look forward to making this project better and better.
Commissioners, let me see where we are in our agenda, where I'm supposed to go here.
Excuse me, Chairman.
Yes.
We do have someone on the phone.
Okay, I can reopen.
It's up to you if you'd like to reopen public comment.
If they've made an effort to call in, let's reopen public comment.
Okay.
I will reopen public comment on item two.
Just add that the person who's calling in has put in a
comment
that says they wanted to make general public comment, so we might see what it is that she wants to comment on.
Okay.
It's not clear whether or not it's for this item or if it was meant to be earlier.
But they've only been on hold for 12 minutes.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So.
I'm assuming, but I'm not sure.
Do I need to specify what item this is for if I just reopen public comment? Or can we see what they.
You can reopen the public hearing and then we can see if this truly is the item that she wants to speak on.
Okay.
And then if it's not, then close the public hearing. And then it's at your discretion whether or not you want to reopen the general public comment sometime at.
Perhaps after our discussion on item two.
Yeah, but that's entirely up to you.
All right. So at the moment, public comment for item two is reopened. Does the person who's on the line wish to speak to item two or something else?
Hello, this is Debbie Peterson, and thank you so much. I've actually been on the line since 6:03 p.m., and every time we've come to a public comment, it's said nobody's on the line, so I'm not sure what's up with the phones, but thank you so much for opening it up again, and I can certainly speak on this item. It was primarily on this. And I can't hear you now.
I haven't replied, but please continue, Ms. Peterson. You have 3 minutes.
Okay, I'm sorry. I could see the time lag you speaking. I did want to talk a little bit about, my background, too. I was in redevelopment across the country in Great Britain in the 1990s. I'm a real estate broker of 26 years and have been the vice president of an association of 324 homes. And so I'll send you a letter about what we did about colors and how frustrating that process of democracy is, but how the outcome was fabulous. I wanted to talk about the Big Heights, though, because I know we're not going to change that on this one, but I just hate to see us develop a canyon of tall buildings on Grand Avenue. And I know that at this point there are 10 that are being negotiated and possibly more. And I really don't believe that's the vision of the people of Grover Beach. And I think that somehow we've got new staff, new people in, and they really have lost touch with the Grover Beach that the community would like to see. And so I'd like to put that out there for you to consider. And I'd also like to, okay, maybe affordable by design, but the current two sales on the market of 402 West Grant for 500 square feet.
Ms. Peterson?
A one-bedroom.
Ms. Peterson, yeah. Please. So do you have something specific on item two? Or shall I close? I would like to close public comment on item two, and then we can look at reopening this after we finish our discussion on item two.
Well, I guess the only other thing specific to this one, then, I would be concerned about parking for commercial. Two-car garages are great, but I wonder if you want to go to the restaurant, where are you going to park? That would be the only one specifically relevant to this.
Okay. Thank you very much for your comment. And I will close public comment for item two once more. So shall we go back to the commissioners? Do we want to talk amongst ourselves about how we want to, are there things in the resolution as written that we want to amend?
Yeah, I guess that was a question I was going to ask of staff, is do we have to amend if we're going to propose something different than approve all or reject all?
Yes. Right now, if you would like to amend that condition, you would need to include it as part of the motion. The resolution, as presented in the report, does not include that change to condition three. So it would need to be part of the motion if that was the intent. And I can pull up the slide again to show the language proposed.
I think that would be very helpful. Thank you.
And if you were looking to modify it, just as an example, to address it only coming up, you know, three quarters of the way instead of the whole way for the opacity, we would need to have your commission agree on it as well as read it into the record of what that change would look like so that staff would be able to then have that resolution signed at your next commission meeting.
Do you want the recommendation or the condition modification?
The condition, please.
There.
Yeah, I guess I would like to see that modification to condition CDD3 removed from this change, and all the other changes approved.
So does that mean? So your point of view would be that it would need to be that 50% opacity all the way up to 42 inches, correct, which is the railing height.
But that wasn't their original design. Their original design is solid.
Solid,
but,
right.
Yeah. So if you want to give them some flexibility, then you'd have to do something different. You would have to say
following the I guess the proposed development code.
Yeah, so to be absolutely clear to the audience as well as to the commissioners, CDD3, this is not CDD3. This is the suggested modification if you found support for the opacity or the lack of opacity that the applicant is requesting. CDD3 remains as it was written when your commission originally approved the project, which is that they are required to have opacity, the full extent of the railing, the glass railing, glass panel. I'm not an architect. So I just wanted to make sure that that was clear. This is not the condition that you need to modify unless, as Commissioner Halverson indicated, you wanted to add that it only extend a certain height above the bottom of that panel.
And I guess what I understood from 50% opacity is that the translucency is not perfectly clear but not perfectly opaque. Right. But then we're also talking about the height or considering should the entire 42 inches be subject to completely solid up to 50% or totally clear? Or is there a compromise of, say, 2/3 or something that would allow someone sitting to see through the clear part of the glass but then still have some level of opacity?
Right. So I would say, given the fact that there is a setback from the edge of the building, that what you suggest at the end of your statement is maybe what we would go for as a compromise, where we say the bottom 2/3 are subject to the opacity rules, the 50% opacity rule, and the top third can be clear.
How are we feeling about that?
I like that idea.
I don't think anything needs to be changed at all.
So you would be in favor of the design as it was originally presented of being 100% opaque?
Right.
And do we understand the original design, was it glass or was it some other material?
The original design, so there's two sets of railing systems. We have the second floor balconies and the roof deck rails as well. So the roof deck rails were designed as a solid system in the original approval, and then the second floor balconies were identified as a transparent glass.
Okay.
So I can go back to the design to show the two elements if we need to.
So the balcony is already allowed to be transparent because it's not the rooftop?
Well, so the condition was originally designed to change that railing system for both the second floor balconies as well as the roof deck for a opaque design. But let me go back to the elevations real quick. So from the original approval, you can see that on the second story there's a glass railing system along that balcony. Surrounded by those black boxes, and then the parapet on the top would have been the rail system for the roof deck. And so the condition was to cover
this
both.
This is the, I'm sorry,
this
what
is,
you're
this
showing
is the
is
previously
the,
approved design.
The rail is here.
So that okay, yeah, but we're looking at the, so we're talking about changing the railing all the way around the building, like front and back, or just the railing at the one facing the ocean?
The only railing systems are facing west. So there's no railing systems facing east or north or south.
Okay.
Well, except for the mixed-use building. Yes.
So proposed for the front view, please.
There we go.
Thank you. This is complicated. But we're going to suss it out.
So can I ask the architect a question, a technical question? What is the fifth percentile eye height measurement for a person seated in a standard chair?
Thank you, Commissioner. Appreciate the opportunity. Not sure exactly fifth percentile. Roughly, a chair height is 18 inches off the ground. Usually, your torso is about 2.5 feet, so another 30 inches or so. Usually, I think we're all sitting right around here, about 4 feet or so.
So if you were held to a 50% opacity up to 42 inches, then most people seated in a standard chair would be able to see over that opaque wall.
Only if they were right at the wall, though.
Yeah.
But you're talking about being able to see the horizon, right? We're talking sunsets.
Right, but the sun goes down.
The ocean goes out.
So what are you proposing, Dave?
I think, however this gets reworded, I think I'm proposing that it's 50% or greater opacity for the whole height of the wall, for the whole height of the railings, whatever we're going to call those things.
And to clarify, are we talking about both balcony levels or just the top?
Is this change for both or just the top?
The condition applies to all railing systems.
All railings.
Yeah. So I guess, why don't I get too off the subject, but to me, the lower balcony, since it is such a small balcony, is not of concern to me as far as opacity goes. To me, the residents might be more concerned about the opacity than the passersby seeing something that doesn't look nice on the balcony. It's the top deck that I would be more concerned about.
Yeah. I think I agree with that.
We're saying we would allow the change in design for the lower level balcony, and our discussion then to limit them is really based on the top balcony.
On the top.
The top deck, yeah. Okay. Has everybody agreed to that?
I think so. We're clear that what was approved was glass for the middle level balcony. That's correct?
Correct.
So I'm not in favor of forcing that to be more opaque since we've already approved it.
Right.
But we are looking at, can we be more generous with the top?
Exactly.
In terms of views. So then are we in agreement of keeping the current design for the balcony, the middle section, as transparent glass as was approved? Okay. So what we decide in this would not, if we decide on some whatever change to the opacity, would not, I mean, you could decide you wanted to go more opaque on the balcony, but.
Maybe I could just add a point of clarity, and this is for me as much as for anybody. We proposed and showed you, and you voted in favor of, on the middle level, fully opaque, being able to see right through.
Staff, fully transparent.
Yeah, I'm sorry, fully transparent. Dang it. Staff put a condition that said it can't do that. So what we would be coming here tonight is to modify that condition so that it could be what we showed you previously and show you again that the living level, the smaller balcony, could be 100% opaque. There's still a railing at... transparent. Thank you, Ben. we would love to hear from you. And then it sounds like there's some semantics about the top and whether it's fully or percentage or whatever. Love to continue to hear your dialogue on that. But I think from a semantic standpoint, we would still need you to say that the condition could be modified to allow transparency on the smaller balcony, at least, is what we're looking for.
Okay, so is that clear to everyone that we approved the design as we viewed it, and then staff after the fact applied this?
I actually want to ask our assistant city attorney a question. So the Planning Commission approved this project with that condition, CDD3, which required the opacity.
Is that correct?
So I just want to make sure, again, semantics, that Chairman, when you say what you viewed, as far as the original project as it was presented, wasn't necessarily what you approved, because the conditions of approval that your commission approved included that opacity condition.
Okay.
I just want to make sure that that's absolutely clear, because you would be modifying that condition, and then we would put in the varying levels that would require the transparency versus the opacity.
So would it be easier to say that the conditional approval that we already did for the 50% or greater opacity on the west-facing balcony railings should remain in effect and be applied to the upper decks as well, and that would just mean that they would all be 50% or greater. They can be not completely opaque, but 50% or greater.
If your commission takes that direction, yes.
Because we've already approved the 50% or greater for the lower two floors.
Correct.
So what we approved. So what I think what's confusing is that the visuals we have do not reflect what we approved. Is that correct?
Correct. So the original approval as it was presented, can you go back to the original approval? So the original approval as it was presented to your commission included a list of conditions of approval that go above and beyond sometimes what a conceptual architectural design of a structure or building may be. And one of those conditions was CDD3, Community Development Department Condition Number 3, which further stipulated the intent that the Planning Commission and the City Council were going to be taking action on or had taken action on to create opacity on glass railings or panels. So staff took it upon themselves to include that condition as part of your approval, which your commission unanimously approved. So they have begun the next steps of submitting their building permits and have noticed, hey, we could distinguish each of these different units more from one another than we did in the previous design, which is in front of you. And so if you go to the next slide, as part of that, they then wanted to approach that condition of approval with your commission to ask if, while that intent is there, the code requirement does not exist, and they would like some leniency on being allowed to have more transparency rather than the opacity that was conditioned.
Okay. Are we all clear?
So just to summarize, just so I know what we're talking about, what we approved includes the intent that we have for the new development code. So
correct.
We were requiring
for all railings.
For all railings. Okay. Very good. Thank you. So we're really what we're doing now is considering a variance on that.
Yeah.
And if I may, I
would recommend, it sounds as though you are wanting to allow for the transparency on the second and third levels, but not the rooftop deck.
Is that correct? We were debating that and trying to understand what we had originally approved.
Yeah, I don't think we reached consensus yet.
Okay. And so just as a recommendation, if that was the consensus, then your commission could take action to modify CDD3 on record that levels 2 and 3 would have full transparency or 50% opacity, and that the rooftop deck paneling would be at a different percentage, 100%, for example, but only to 2/3. So that's how you could pursue modifying that condition.
That's very complicated.
And all the railings are 42 inches?
Correct, as mandated by building code.
So it sounds like we have to make some change to satisfy what we approved before.
You don't have to make any change. Your choices this evening are keep the condition as is, which requires the 50% opacity across all paneling and railings. You can modify it consistent with what the applicant is requesting of you this evening for your consideration. Do you mind bringing that language up? Or you could find consensus and have a variation of the two. And as I suggested, that could be levels 2 and 3 have full transparency and the rooftop deck has 2/3 opacity at 50%. Just as an example.
I vaguely remember us flogging this whole thing the last time it came
yes,
up.
Yes, we did.
And I guess I'm leaning towards leaving CDD3 as we flogged it last time.
Yeah, I think I'm moving that way too. Yeah.
So that would mean you could have a translucent frosted glass, but not perfectly transparent. Is that?
Yep, that's what it would mean.
That's where we're at. And so then, is there anyone on this end in favor of allowing a part of transparency at the top of the, you know, towards the top of the railing?
I am.
I still don't want to change what they've proposed.
Well, we approved.
but we approve.
Yeah.
And so your commission could make, someone on the commission could make a motion,
right,
and see if there's consensus, or continue to deliberate. And we are happy to answer any questions or provide any additional examples or variations of the condition as you may need.
I think if it were me, I would be open to, on the top, on the very top floor, having a certain amount of transparency, which I think is the opinion of Commissioner Hoffman. But I think we should take it to a vote, and if we hear some no's, which we don't often, or yeses. So I will invite a motion regarding the any or no change to what we approved.
All right, I'll take a crack at it just because I don't know why. But I would like to move that we approve development application DA-23-00050/CHG25-0001 as submitted, with the exception that the opacity of the balconies below the roof deck are not to be changed from the original approval, and that the roof deck railings are allowed to have clear, transparent transparency on the top one-third of the railing height.
I will second that.
Hearing, we have a motion and a second. Let me get back to my list here. Don't I invite some discussion at some point? Do we have any further discussion on it?
We vote.
All right. Clerk Ratana.
How do we get clarification on what that actually means before we vote on it?
Doesn't it mean opaque, two-thirds opaque, one-third transparent?
So it's a third of the 42 inches on the upper floor only. The upper third of the 42 inches on the upper floor only can be transparent.
That's correct.
The two lower floors will remain as CDD3, 50% or greater opacity.
That's correct.
I think I understand it that way as well.
So is that clear enough for staff to implement? Okay.
Okay.
You have a motion and a second?
I have a motion and a second. Clerk Ratana, would you please call the roll?
Commissioner Halverson.
Yes.
Commissioner Hoffman.
Yes.
Commissioner Holden.
No.
Commissioner Vice Chair Swift.
Yes.
And Chair Mann.
Yes. The motion passes, but not unanimously, and sometimes things are that way. Thank you, everyone, for a good discussion. Okay, moving on to regular business items. We have the 2024 annual report on the status and progress implementation of the general plan. And I will invite Director Martin to present to us.
Thank you so much. Good evening, commissioners. Tonight we're presenting the 2024 general plan annual progress report. This report provides a snapshot of our city's progress in implementing the goals and policies of the general plan. The purpose of this report is to summarize key actions that have been taken over the past year. It's to track housing production, document how the city is aligning with state law and local planning objectives. It's also a required submission to the Governor's Office of Planning and Research, better known as OPR, as well as the California Department of Housing and Community Development, also known as HCD. That is required to be submitted to demonstrate our compliance with state planning requirements. Just for our audience, if this is their first time hearing one of these reports, this is not a policy-making document. It's a snapshot in time. It does not propose new projects or regulations. Rather, it is an informational report and a look back at what's been accomplished, as well as a tool to guide future discussions on planning and development. So by identifying progress and challenges in implementing the general plan, this report helps inform future discussions on key planning topics such as housing availability, economic development, and infrastructure needs.
As the Planning Commission, your role tonight is to receive this information. You can ask any clarifying questions of staff. We're happy to help and guide you in that conversation, and also provide any feedback on the content of the report, which will be provided to the Council at the upcoming March 24th hearing. And we just appreciate any insights you have, and I'm going to turn it over to Senior Planner Mr. Bell for the remainder of the presentation.
All right, thank you for that introduction. All right, so the city publishes the annual report on a publishes the annual report on the status of its general plan to comply with the requirements under state law to report on the actions taken to implement the general plan each year. That's a mouthful. The report is intended to help the community gauge progress towards achieving the city's goals and objectives. It is also an opportunity to review how well the programs are being implemented. In order to effectively implement the policies and programs of the general plan, it is important to understand the past and future trends of the community. The city has been tracking its population growth of the community since 1960. As shown on the screen, the population has been rather quiet since the early 2000s, with a more recent drop in population over the last few years. The population decrease is consistent with the trends throughout the county and is likely attributed to a combination of reasons, including but not limited to the pandemic, cost of housing, competition for household jobs, and reduced household sizes. Housing has also been a major city goal for the last several years, and the city has prioritized programs that support new housing. Tracking residential growth allows the city to make informed decisions to plan for infrastructure development, allocate resources, and address potential changes related to population changes. In the last year, the city issued permits for 16 accessory dwelling units, 148 multi-unit apartments, and 7 new single-family homes. The city's residential growth was expected to significantly increase in 2024 due to several large-scale projects that have been issued for permits, such as the Palladium, Encore, and Cleaver & Clark, which provide collectively about 149 new homes. I know there's a discrepancy there between the 149 and the 148, and that's due to a duplex being converted to a single-family house. Under state law, each city and county in California is required to develop programs that are designed to meet their share of the surrounding region's housing needs for all income categories. HCD identifies housing needs for all regions in the state, and SLOCOG then apportions the regional housing needs for among each jurisdiction and county. The city has an allocation of 369 new housing units by 2028. As of 2024, the city is 81% through meeting our share of RENA, which leaves about 83 units needed to complete by the end of the planning period in 2028. Affordable housing also ensures that the housing costs do not exceed 30% of a household's income through deed restrictions on properties for a term of either 45 to 55 years. The city continues to promote opportunities to collaborate with nonprofit partners to develop affordable housing projects throughout the community. In 2003, the city provided support for People's Self-Help Housing and the Housing Authority of San Luis Obispo to successfully leverage tax credits for an affordable housing project known as Cleaver & Clark, which was permitted for construction in 2024 and consists of 53 affordable homes available to lower-income households. The project is expected to be completed in early 2026. Applications and permits are also tracked annually to serve as an indicator of development trends and a tool for budget forecasting. In 2023, a total of 53 applications. I had the wrong date here. In 2024, a total of 53 applications were submitted for review. This represents a 45% increase from the average number of applications received per year over the last 10 years, and a 23% increase from the previous year. Building permits are also issued for various projects ranging from relatively simple projects, water heater changeouts, window changeouts, re-roofing, etc., to more complex projects such as additions and new structures. In 2024, the city issued 105 residential permits and 365 non-residential permits, for totaling in 470 building permits for the year. The general plan is a comprehensive statement of how this. Oh, again. The general plan is a comprehensive statement of the city's goals and how these goals will be achieved throughout the community. Policies and programs in the general plan provide guidance to the public, staff, and decision makers on development-related issues. The city continues to track progress on the general plan through implementation of each of the various policies and programs. Many of these policies are ongoing, and while others have been implemented throughout various tools such as updates to the development code and the capital improvements program, as identified in the appendices of the agenda report. And since this actually concludes the staff's presentation, I'm available for any questions.
Thank you very much. So, do any commissioners have questions for staff on the annual report? We'll start with Commissioner Halverson.
I don't have any questions. It always impresses me every year when we see this report that you guys are busy, very, very busy staff. And you get a lot done, and it is a little concerning when you see the status when it says not started or not enough staff or that kind of thing. So there are items in there that aren't getting any attention. But when you look at them, I appreciate the prioritization that goes into that decision about what to work on and what not to work on. So it just means we have aspirations for the future for getting to those things at some point. So I don't have any comments, just a congratulations on all the hard work.
Thank you. Commissioner Hoffman.
I don't have any questions. I just also wanted to say I like reading these reports, and I love the graphics especially. It's fun to look at as a data nerd. So yeah, great job. Thank you.
Commissioner Holden.
I don't have any questions.
Vice Chair Swift.
I always have questions. On the RENA numbers, this is cycle six, ends in 2028. And you said you're 81% of the way there. Now, it looks like the heavy lift on meeting that is the big block of low income. It was like 50-something, 56. So 56 in the low end. Cleaver and Clark was a great bonus in getting that in there to get a chunk. Can you speak at all to what the plans are for meeting that piece, which seems like it's going to be the hard one to meet?
We continue to coordinate and partner with the Housing Authority of San Luis Obispo. We coordinate with People's Self-Help Housing on any opportunities that might come their way. We also incentivize our developers to offer density bonus if they then provide to incentivize developers to have higher density if it means that they will contribute to our affordable housing, actual deed-restricted affordable housing inventory. But we are an infill community. We don't have many vacant lots left, and it is not something that we can mandate from anyone to do. So we do our best to educate developers and to work very closely with our partners to make sure that they know that we're open, but there isn't anything in our pipeline right now, minus, I believe, two subdivisions, small subdivisions, one right here across on Rockaway, as well as one on Baden, and the recently approved 1220 Long Branch project, which all three of those subdivisions will include a moderate income deed-restricted unit, possibly two on one of them, but I can't remember the numbers off the top of my head. So
and we saw those, and so yes. I get you one here and one there.
Yes.
And I think I've asked before, and maybe this is something to have at a later date, have you come back and speak to it. But if you kind of look at the vacant lots, either underdeveloped or undeveloped lots in the city, and sort of do your best guess at speculating what somebody might be motivated to put on those lots, can you sort of pencil these numbers out into the future and say, we do have some prime spots that will get a big chunk of those numbers, where we don't, or, we have a good vision to getting to our 2050 build out numbers for this cycle and maybe our next RENA cycle?
A vision to get through our cycle and at to 100%, we would be so lucky, and we would love for that to be accomplished. And obviously, with the numbers that we have, we're working towards it. But committing to that level of an activity and that level of mapping would take considerable staff resource and time. And as Commissioner Halverson mentioned, it has not been identified as a priority by our council for us to pursue that. However, as I mentioned, every opportunity we get to communicate with developers and provide them with the incentives to offer affordable housing, we do that. I might want to also make sure that it's clear that if we don't, quote, meet the numbers at 100%, there isn't necessarily a penalty. And we also are able to collectively as a region work towards the San Luis Obispo County's RENA numbers. So the county itself gets a huge umbrella of, let's just make up a number, 1,500 RENA units for all of the county. Then that 1,500 is parsed out to each individual city. We work towards ours. If another community like City of Atascadero or City of Paso Robles far exceeds one of these income categories, Grover, as well as San Luis Obispo or Rio Grande, we all collectively benefit from that towards the county's RENA progress. So we also, both Mr. Bell and I, are involved in a housing action team meeting that's run by San Luis Obispo Council of Governments. It's a monthly meeting, and we work very, very closely with our city partners to ensure that we're doing everything we can to promote affordable housing in our communities.
And I would just add that the housing element that was adopted in 2020 does include an appendices that identifies certain sites throughout the community that can accommodate these housing needs. And so I don't have those numbers in front of me, but it was done at the same time as the start of the spring cycle.
Yeah, and I think just not to take away from what the other commissioner said is that, you know, that's a great report. The progress is obvious when you look at the charts. So thank you.
And I will not second, third, fourth. I will fifth the appreciation to staff. It's a really well done report. I want to understand clearly the RENA numbers. It counts in the year that it's permitted, not the year that it was approved. Is that correct? Okay, so that's good to know. Of course, the lower income affordable units that are deed restricted have a longer timeline because they have to collect funding from various places, right? It's not like someone has just finished a project in a, you know, it's a different funding structure that takes more time. So understanding that, I think, is important. I was thinking about this. So I have a coworker who lives in an apartment here in Grover Beach, and he is concerned that with what is, you know, increasing density allowed, that his landlord is going to be incentivized to sell the property out from under him, and he won't be able to live here anymore. And I think it would be good to, I believe there is a law that you cannot displace people if you're going to, so I wonder if we could understand that a little better and communicate that better.
It depends. So there are many laws related to housing that have either protections for displacement. I wouldn't say that you can't, that displacement is prohibited, but there are laws that would require the developer to offer some sort of relocation assistance or things like that, but it really would depend on the particular project, what's there now and what will be there in the future. So there's a lot more to it than just either yes, you can displace, or no, you can't. But if there was something more detailed that you wanted to know, or, you know, a presentation on the topic or something like that, I'm sure that could be accommodated.
Yeah, I think it would be, I think there's probably a few property owners in this city who would like to be contributing, who are smaller, maybe aren't always in the development game, who would like to be contributing some additional units and maybe redevelop their land from two apartments to maybe six or something. But it's not really clear what the rules are going to be. And if it were me, of course I wouldn't want to displace my current tenants. You know, so I'd want to understand what the rules around that were, or the incentives or protections. So I wonder if maybe in a future meeting, or if we can find another way to sort of understand that better and get more clarity, and communicate that out to the community so that everybody who wants to participate in building affordable housing can do it.
Absolutely. I might also add, happy to have our staff put together a presentation. In fact, I believe that we already have one crafted and that we can bring to your commission. Secondly, happy to also provide resources that are currently on our website. If you could remind me of the title of it.
We'll be launching a website called the Tenant Protection and Landlord. This is not the term we use it for the landlord aspect of it, but it provides information for both tenant rights and landlord protections as well, so they both understand their
yeah. thresholds. And so this was developed through our Housing Action Team, which, as I mentioned earlier, is run by our San Luis Obispo Council of Government. So our team of planning practitioners, actually spearheaded by Mr. Bell, decided to put together a web page that would outline tenant rights and landlord rights, and that'll be going live probably prior to the end of this month. But it'll be consistent across all jurisdictions, and will provide probably a lot of the assurances that your friend needs.
Thank you very much. I think the only other sort of interesting tidbit that I drew from your report, would you mind going back to the population growth chart? So we're seeing population growth peak, 2016? And we've lost 1,000 people in the last 8-9 years.
I could speak back to this again. This is consistent throughout the county. So we did see population decreases all throughout the county pretty consistently, and the state too. So there's been a combination of changes that have occurred over the last 5 years. That we're still adjusting to, and so it's hard to know what's on the horizon. But you can see this last year we finally had a positive increase in our population. So we're excited to see what the future holds.
Well, I'm hopeful with the different units that will be coming on in the next couple of years, we're going to see that turnaround. I have personal opinions on things on that, but I don't need to bring those up here. So anyway, just an interesting point. Anything else from anybody? Discussion regarding the annual report. If not, I will open this up to public comment. Is there anyone in the room who would like to comment on the annual report on the status and progress of the implementation of the general plan? Please come forward. Seeing no one rise, is there anyone on the line, and we'll wait just a few moments for connection issues, who wanted to speak to item 3?
The same person's online, but she's already spoken, so I'm not sure if you want to open it.
Well, if it's about item 3, then, people can speak multiple times, right? Okay, so we will ask the person. Hello, yes.
I'm still waiting to finish. It's Debbie Peterson again.
Yes, so right now public comment is open for item 3, which is the annual report on the status and progress implementation of the general plan. Did you have any comment you wanted to give on that?
No.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so we can move to that after we do what we need to do with the... there is no motion needed on this. So if you'll hold on just a moment, Debbie, I'm going to close the comment on this. We'll proceed to the next thing. And then if it pleases the commission, I will reopen for general public comment.
Okay.
Is that all right? All right. I'm closing public comment for item 3. Anything else the commissioners would like to discuss about the report amongst ourselves?
No,
ma'am. I see heads shaking. We're doing great, everybody. All right. So recommended action. We have no motion needed there. I will invite reopening general public comment for the person who's been very patiently on the line. I apologize for the technical difficulties. Public comment is now open.
Thank you so much for accommodating me and figuring it all out, and also for your service. I was on the Planning Commission for 4 years and the chair for two, and I have to say it was a wonderful experience. It went the way that things should go. People listened. They made efforts to really accommodate and mitigate, and so thank you to all of you for your service. You are still doing that. I did just want to talk a little bit to some of the history. I was on the commission from 2004 to 2008, and I think that we've lost track of some of that. I don't think that these canyons of 55-foot buildings all along Grand were really on people's radar, and I think we got new staff in. We ended up having a COVID pandemic, and I don't think we're aware of what was happening. And so one of my concerns is that we have a builder who is going to be bringing in hundreds of millions when you figure that the units, currently there's one on the market at 402 West Grand for 500 square feet for over $550,000. There's one for 1,000 square feet that's well over $900,000. These are not, they may be called affordable by design, but they are not affordable. And these are the types of developments that could really accommodate some affordable units. And so we're seeing the smaller developers stepping up to do that. We're not seeing the ones who are making hundreds of millions doing that. And I'd love to see some promotion of that if that's possible. Also, want to talk a little bit about what the local coastal plan had stated about view corridors, which are very different from individual home views. I know we can't protect those. We do so more than many cities. However, the view corridors are when you drive down a street and you say, thank you for letting us live in this beautiful place. I see the ocean. I see the mesa. And many of those already are blocked even by the construction. And I feel like that really impacts the happiness and the joy of the community, along with losing a lot of trees. So I would love to see those things considered and more seriously. And also, I think that parking is going to be a huge problem because, okay, we have two parking spaces in garages in some cases, in one case, but what about all the people who may want to go to the restaurant that's located on Grand Avenue at the bottom of a mixed-use building? Where will they park? I think we need to make some accommodation for those businesses as well. And I'm also concerned that the cost of providing additional sewer and water for additional people is actually being passed on to the residents of Grover Beach who are already and have already paid for our existing systems. And I would like to see those costs shifted to the people who are coming in rather than the people who've already paid the price. And
Ms. Peterson, you are at 3 minutes here. Did you want to finish your thought?
We're good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
No, actually, I thank you.
I will close public comment if there is no one else on the line. Thank you very much. Moving on, we are at the point on the agenda for the commissioner's comments. So I will open it up again. And this can be about, I suppose, anything. So, Commissioner Halverson.
Anything, huh? How about those Academy Awards, huh? No, I don't have any comments beyond what we have discussed tonight. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Hoffman?
No comments.
Commissioner Holden?
I wasn't here last month, so maybe I missed from your director's report. But I go to my knitting group, and they were telling me that with the development where Spoon Trade is being razed or raised for a housing development. Did that? I didn't know. So.
We understand that property ownership has changed hands, but there is no application in process at this time. We are not aware of any residential development or mixed-use development at this time at that property.
I was just surprised at the conversation, that's all. Okay.
Yeah.
Vice Chair Swift?
I actually want to go back and touch on something one of the public commenters said early in the meeting. It was Ms. Storton. And she brought up the train station and the bus station and cited a couple of state laws or designations or whatever for those not being major transit stops or something. And I know this is going to end up back on us in some number of meetings, either the next one or the following one. And so I would like to hear more about that and how that was driving some of the ADU stuff. And you and I kept talked about that. And so I think, you know, she may have good questions. She may feed them to me and I may feed them to you and try to answer them. But I think it's a worthwhile thread to pull. And I would like to, you know, have it pulled a little bit.
I'm happy to speak to that this evening if you'd like, or wait for your additional questions.
If you can work it in with your development director's report, that's fine.
Sure.
Or at least touch on it.
Yeah, happy to.
And then, was there anything else noteworthy? I hope I get quoted by somebody in the future for saying that we're not in the business of protecting views any more than we're in the business of enhancing views. And I will keep that in mind as we get things like we saw tonight, where while I understand the motivation and him as the developer and the designer wanting to do that, it also, in my mind, just sends a bad message. Mm. You know, that, sorry, everyone, we're going to cast shade on you, but look at the wonderful view we just gave these people. It just, that doesn't sit well with me. So anyway, I hope somebody quotes me that at my obituary.
It's now an official Swiftism.
Yeah. and I think that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I think since we had the project before us earlier tonight, I was looking over the plans, and Ms. Peterson in public comment talked about the trees, and yeah, there's a few trees coming down. But for example, in the proposal that we discussed tonight with the changes, there's like 50 or 60 trees going in on that. Some are like lemon and lime and
on 197,
yeah,
West Grand Avenue.
There's a lot of proposed landscaping there.
I don't believe it's 50 to 60 trees, but I can tell you factually that we are only allowing removal of a single palm tree at that site.
Or maybe,
so I'm not
maybe
sure
what's
where
shown
the comment.
There, maybe what's shown there is, it looked to me like along the frontage with the train tracks, we were getting some lemon and lime trees.
I do remember that they worked in some lemon trees along the frontage of the railroad. I just don't know the number, but to be factual, removing vast amounts of trees is inaccurate. We're removing one palm tree with this development.
Yeah, I guess the point I wanted to make is that the number of trees that are going in far surpasses the few trees that are being removed for these developments. Some of the properties didn't have any trees on them at all.
We are also requiring, based on our West Grand Avenue master plan, as well as within our development code, street trees, which were not there before. So West Grand Avenue will also see, I think, 4 to 5 additional trees planted along the sidewalk and public right-of-way.
Which I think does contribute to the beauty, even if some of the heights that we adopted, you know, are altering some of some of what we were used to. So I think it's an improvement. So just wanted to speak to that. And then regarding the parking issues, I hope that we'll get to this in our circulation review. I would like to see some different bus routes. And I know that doesn't necessarily come before this commission, but I think I want to say for the record, I think for as much work as Grover is doing at trying to do good infill density development, the fact that we are the longest route to the connection to get up to, you know, by bus, you have to go from Grover Beach either all the way to Aurora Grande Village and back to get to the Pismo outlet stop, or you got to go all the way to Shell Beach and around. And I don't think that's fair.
So as part of the circulation element, one of our partners in developing a lot of the policies, once we collect all of the data, will be the Regional Transit Authority, who are solely responsible for the routes that exist in all cities. today. So we'll continue to partner closely with them to ensure that those comments are heard. We also urge you to come to any future public outreach meetings that we have and share those concerns and help us to continue to develop policy that addresses that and affects actual change.
Thanks very much. No other comments from me. So if there's nothing else, we'll move on to Director Martin's community development report.
Thank you. I guess my first, I want to say thank you to each of you as well, because the 53 applications that were approved as part of the General Plan Annual Progress Report that we provided to you this evening, those 53 applications, majority of them came through your commission. So just thank you for being thoughtful in how you consider each of those projects and the conditions that go along with them to see development move forward in our community. And also thank you for your thoughtful discussion on 197 West Grand and the transparency versus opacity of the panels. It really helps us to, in the next situation, apply that and ensure that it's consistent. We look forward to the Coastal Commission after we bring an ADU ordinance back to you here in the next couple of meetings, the Coastal Commission approving our development code amendment so that we don't have to guess at what the opacity should be or where it should be moving forward. I would also like to ask whether or not, Chairman, you would like me to address any of the public comments that were made. If the Commission wants me to answer any of the questions that were brought up during general public comment, I'm happy to do so before I give my updates on projects in the community.
Are there any questions that folks heard from public comment that they would like staff to address?
Well, I guess, you know, there's a general discussion in our city about development, and especially on West Grand, you know, and my understanding, and this is where I'm looking for the staff to chime in, although I don't think neither one of you were here when this all started, but maybe you know the history anyway better than I do, certainly. From what I understand and watched happen, the city council came up with this idea years and years ago, and it developed over time, and it suddenly got a name, the West Grand Development, whatever it is, and so it became a thing in its own right, and it was, from what I perceive, it was a way to develop our city and enhance it and have something more along Grand Avenue than a lot of strip malls. And so we as a planning commission, you know, we see these projects, and we are only approving or disapproving them based on what the city council gives us for policy. We don't make policy. We don't discuss policy, really. We only try to implement what the city council has provided us. So, and there seems to be some confusion about how the whole West Grand Avenue thing started, and I don't know if there was any city council discussions back then about the street becoming a canyon or not. I guess if these continue to develop the way they have, it could kind of resemble a canyon. A lot of coastal cities down south kind of look that way. I mean, you go anywhere, Santa Monica or Huntington Beach or any of those, the development is there, the demand for development is there. People want to live near the beach, and the only way to go is up, so that's what they do. Anyway, it would be nice to have some clarification about the genesis of this policy and the fact that we have nothing to do with it.
I appreciate the opportunity to provide clarification. So the document of which you speak, the policy document of which you speak, is known as the West Grand Avenue Master Plan, and it was approved in 2011. So consistent with the requirements of adopting any kind of specific plan, master plan, general plan element, there is a public outreach requirement that goes along with preparing that document. And the public outreach at that time, as well as the council consideration of the policies that are within it, were all adopted back in 2011. It envisioned along West Grand Avenue improved streetscapes, improved street design. It also envisioned buildings of various heights from 2 to 3 stories, and in certain key nodes, Fourth and Grand, for example, 4 stories, and that those would be considered on a case-by-case basis. So when staff receives a development application in which we have a 4-story proposed, we look at this document and say, okay, well, is it consistent with the policies that are nested within it? And if it is, then we can bring that to your commission, who are responsible for
certain levels of discretion that can't be made at the staff level to say, yes, you concur and you make the findings that it is consistent with these policies that were established by the council at that time.
Right.
I would also just note that the 55-foot height requirement does not necessarily mean that it's 5-6 stories in height. That's misinformation that continues to be spread on social media throughout our community. Our development code does allow for certain areas along West Grand to be 55 feet in height, and that was all approved in 2019 to 2022. So that effort began in 2019 and was adopted and affected by the Coastal Commission in 2022. These changes were made prior to any of our staff coming on board, and we continue to administer those plans and those codes and bring anything that requires public comment, public input to your commission as part of our procedures. So we're also at the hands of your commission. If you have any concerns with the way something is being interpreted, if we bring it to you and you say, oh, no, I don't want, 100% opacity on these panels. I want 2/3, 1/3, right? You have that authority to then provide us the discretion to apply that to the next project. So kind of a bigger picture to smaller of how we actually implement it and put it into practice. But I hope that answers your question.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on, Commissioner. Sorry, you're the floor. Sorry, did anyone else have something from public comment to be spoken to?
And just curious if you'd like me to speak to the major transit stop conundrum that we're currently in. Happy to provide high level, and then we can bring something more detailed to your commission when I bring the accessory dwelling unit ordinance back for consideration.
That would be fine.
Okay, so I would actually like to invite our assistant city attorney to participate in this conversation as well. But our public resources code has a very strict definition of what a major transit stop is. And that strict definition is any rail station. It is a major transit stop. It just says any rail station. There's no quantifiable or thresholds associated with a rail station. It just simply is if it exists, regardless of passenger frequency. But if there are passengers present, it's considered a major transit stop. State law now requires, under ADU law, section 66323, now requires, as well as 66314, now requires that if someone is proposing an accessory dwelling unit within a half mile of that major transit stop or high quality transit corridor, which we're also looking into, but again, I'll bring that back to your commission at a later time. If it's within a half mile of either of those two categories, we must allow by right, our hands are tied, we don't have a choice, we must allow by right a 20-foot accessory dwelling unit. That's an 18-foot to ceiling with not to ceiling, sorry. That's 18 feet with a 2-foot roof pitch. So at the absolute maximum, 20 feet. And that can be within 4 feet of someone's property line. So our staff, when we discovered this, began doing as much outreach as we could with our planning practitioners in the region, as well as with the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments attorney, as well as their staff. And we've also reached out to our city attorney, who is busily working to craft a letter to send to HCD arguing the fact that we do not believe that this should be considered a major transit stop. And so I'll kind of pause there. I do have some closing comments on it, but I'll pause there if you'd like to discuss that further.
I don't have much to add, except that we just can't believe that this is what the legislature intended, that this train station with four to six stops a day would be something that would impact a city like River Beach in this way. So this, we just don't believe that this is what the legislature intended, but this is the way that HCD, the implementing agency, is implementing it, or at least defining it. And so our purpose in writing the letter is just to kind of argue back why we think that they're wrong. And in addition to the letter to HCD, I think the plan, and we've only just briefly talked about this, is maybe do something to try to affect the legislation, because this, it's ludicrous. Really, it can't be what they had in mind when they passed this law. So That's what we're trying.
I think what's additionally unfair and something that we are criticizing heavily, and we did so in our conversations with HCD, is that how can you apply a quantifiable threshold for a bus route to say 15-minute increments in frequency and qualify that as the high-quality transit corridor and not provide any level of measurement for local governments to apply for a major transit stop? Additionally, major transit stop, as it was first kind of invited into the development world, was really related to California Environmental Quality Act and CEQA and navigating complex regulations associated with streamlining the environmental review process for transit-oriented development. That means housing that is nearby to transit. That is, even though we are having development come in within a half mile of our rail station, it's still not at a frequency that it would ever be considered what we believe to be a major transit stop. So as it relates to introducing additional changes to this legislation, our effort is simply to suggest that they quantify what those thresholds would be, just as they did so with the bus routes. I just want to be absolutely clear. My role as the director is to ensure that there is reasonable development within this community and that it is compliant and consistent with our policies, our goals, our objectives. And accessory dwelling units, to an extent, provide for that level of housing that a lot of people need, whether they're single, whether it's a family, whether it's a professional, the whole like. But I also am beholden to state law. And it's my responsibility to ensure that my staff is informed on what those state law requirements are, as well as your commission, to better understand that sometimes at the state level, our hands are tied. Actually, I believe Commissioner Halverson, you said that you should have a Halversonism for the, however many times you've used that. We don't like it. You know, planners are not always aligned with state law. And we truly do push back as often as we can. But to protect the city from having a non-compliant ADU ordinance and a non-compliant housing element is something that I'm willing to put ahead of a half-mile radius and 20-foot, potentially two-story ADUs, so that our city is not receiving $10,000 fines on a monthly basis because we refused to acknowledge a state mandate. So I just want to make that clear. Happy to answer any follow-up questions.
I think the only thing that I'll add to that before you get into your prepared presentation is that the legislative platform that we just got approved from the council and staff very clearly calls out supporting things that that give more local control. And in my mind, this is one of those things where, you know, the state has legislation that doesn't fit everywhere, and especially when you have a small town like this with a, you know, four times a day Amtrak flying through. And it would seem like that would fall under that category of one of those things that you and the senior staff and the council would really go after to get fixed, clarified, you know, more specific, so that it's not just blanket applied to us when maybe it doesn't really apply.
Well, so, to echo that, again, for purposes of educating our audience and those at home, each city, each jurisdiction, county or city in California has the opportunity to partner with the League of California Cities, and that group advocates often for and against a lot of the legislative actions that come down from the state. So we often put kind of all of our eggs in that basket that they'll work on our behalf. But in an email from Ms. Thompson just the other week, I mean, things are being thrown at us so quickly we can't always keep up. And so I would offer that those at home, as well as our commissioners, as well as anyone in this room, please contact your
elected representatives, not council, but your senators, your congressmen and women, and ask them to look into this a little bit further. There's only so much that we as Grover Beach can do, and we rely on our partners to push back as best we can. But there's a really important note here, and sometimes we are just, our hands are tied. And we'll do the best that we can to educate you when we bring back that accessory dwelling unit ordinance and give you as much illustrative examples as we can as to what the impacts of this might be. Of course.
Thank you very much. Were there any other questions related to public comment, or shall we get into the report? Let's hear it, Director Martin.
Okay. there was so much this evening. So I just wanted to provide three updates for you. So 950 El Camino Real, as you can see, that's coming along very, very quickly. They are anticipating, per my building official, are anticipating for that project to be completed in June. So I'm going to actually give a best estimate and say maybe July, August, because we all know construction can sometimes run behind schedule. But they're doing very well, passing all of their inspections. And as I mentioned, they're anticipated to be completed in June. Occupancy, I'm not aware of yet, but at least completed by June. 1598 El Camino Real, you might have noticed, they've broken ground and they've begun preparing the site for grading to establish the first hotel building at the site. So we still haven't received the second building permit or any of the seven single-family residential housing permits yet, but they're in progress and moving right along. And then I just wanted to make you aware that our City Council met yesterday on March 3rd to prepare Council goals for the upcoming fiscal two-year fiscal years of 25 to 27. Those goals and priorities are going to be presented at the next Council meeting and discussed for the city to kind of provide the next level of vision over the next 2 years. And that will also inform our capital improvement program, as well as what our staff, as well as all other department staff, will be focused on over the next 2 years. That's it for me.
Okay. Do I invite additional comment? Does anyone have anything in response to what we just heard? All right. It being 8 o'clock, I do adjourn with no further business before the commission. I adjourn this meeting.